Hello, everybody, and welcome to part two of our we need stuff to do, so let's do another podcast listing players from the Northern Premier League, Premier Division, who had quite a good season last year. And joining me now to discuss this week, fullbacks, we're joined by, once again, Mr. Matt Carruthers from the North East.
Hello.
Stay alert, Mark.
Just got back from Barnard Castle for this.
Staying alert in Cheshire, we've got Mr. Andrew Simpson.
Hello.
And always on his toes, Mr. James Hayes, social media officer from the Northern Premier League. Hello, James. Usual disclaimers apply with this week's show. There's no real award for whoever comes out as the best number two and number three of last season. There's no trophies or anything like that because we've spent the budget already. So there's nothing. This is just a chinwag between four friends just to talk about football. And we've invited you along to listen. That's basically it.
And as we said, Ben, off air, we get a participation award for being here again 7 days later, not playing paddle on the continent or,
okay. Apologies from Berkey. Where is Swampy? Paddle? Bulls?
Who knows?
Belgium. Who knows? It's Bulls. Bulls.
Bulls.
And James Gordon, we don't know where James has gone to. James, you should know where he is.
Swamp's under rugby league stuff, isn't
it? Rugby league, yes. Summer sport, good old-fashioned summer sport. Right, before we get into the list of players and that kind of thing, I just thought we'd have a general chit-chat about full-backs in general, because left-back and right-back, they've become my favourite positions on a pitch. They're the most intriguing. Hear me out on this, dear listener. Defensively, you've got players like Gary Neville, who are just a converted centre-back. And then you've got players like Ashley Cole, a converted winger. And the best fullbacks are the ones who combine the two. And I think they're the best players on the pitch, in my humble opinion.
Well, fullback's a new number 10, isn't it?
Yeah.
Basically, the position that everyone seems to want to be. I think if you go back 20, 25 years, you had people like you mentioned Gary Neville, who, seen for his defensive qualities, despite the fact he was good going forward. But now we're kind of seeing a new breed of fullback, the likes of Andrew Robertson and Trent Alexander-Arnold, people like that who are good going forwards. It's a very different position to what it was 20, 25 years ago.
I was going to say, it's probably the most developed position in the last couple of years. I'm looking through the list as well, thinking who was the last quality left-back, but I'm still in the old-school mind with Roberto Carlos in 2000.
What about Maldini?
I'd say Paolo Maldini says hi.
I think you're right, though. The non-league has followed the trend, hasn't it? I think a lot of the guys that we're going to talk about today, without giving too much away, kind of fit that mould of we're probably going to say time and again, praise their attacking prowess, the fact that they contribute goals, the fact they contribute assists, which is proof in itself of how now we're starting to gauge this position in a completely different way to how we might have done previously, to the point that almost leaving behind the defensive element of their game because they're contributing so much in other areas of the game. And it's always fascinating to me to see kind of, we had a touch on this a little bit about goalkeepers last week about, when we were talking about Miles Boney, about kind of fitting a profile of a style of play at South Shields. And I do think fullbacks are very much are doing that as well. And in a lot of the teams that we cover or we write about or we support, we're probably seeing that in different levels of success, obviously, but that profile of player that's coming into play in those roles is definitely mirroring what Mark said about it being a different position now.
When I was making notes for this, I found myself making a point of saying defensively they are solid, or the defensive quality, which seems ridiculous for a position which is effectively a defensive position.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
And with that regard, just a further disclaimer to the one at the start of the show, we're looking at the players who've played number two and number three. I've got no interest in these fullbacks who wear number 10 on their back. I'm speaking to you, Jerome Wright. I've no interest.
Another thing, Ben, I don't know if the guys have noticed this as well, but certainly a lot of games that I watched this season, we've seen quite a spike this season in teams playing three at the back. So they're having wing backs. Sort of the successful teams, actually, in division have done that. And I don't know if that signifies, again, what we've just touched on about that it better enables them to exploit the kind of attacking skill of these guys, or whether we're seeing more midfielders do that because they've maybe not got as many traditional fullbacks. I suspect it's probably the former, and it enables them to be a more attacking weapon. I've certainly been at quite a few games this season, you're scribbling down the formation or watching what's going on, and the number of teams now who are using that formation is quite interesting as well, and that definitely directly impacts on some, again, some of the guys we'll talk about today.
And one of the others, sorry, just jump in, mention, well, obviously we're going to talk about South Shields at some point, but they play a diamond in midfield, so they're a bit narrower, which allows the fullbacks to act as wingbacks. So I think it is something, it's a tool that more managers are using to try and get the fullbacks to be more attacking.
I was going to say, I mean, there's obviously 3-5-2, but South Shields and FC both played flat-back fours, didn't they? And had full-backs who just love pelting it forward.
Which probably showed in the level of defending in that last game.
I enjoyed it, Mark. Anyway, right, let's get to it then, and the list. I will kind of do it in a kind of starting honourable mentions and that kind of thing, and then build our way up towards the top end of the table. Just to start things off, James, I'll come to you first. You mentioned Swaby Nevin at Radcliffe. Tell us why.
So it's a bit of a tough one to say this one, because obviously we had the choice of Scott Metcalf on the opposite wing at the same time. Only reason I've gone more for Nevin is because of his control on the pitch. Started the season as someone who was released from Bury literally a couple of days before the season had started. Instantaneously got himself involved. He's been getting involved with set more forward play, showing his ability to get forward and what we were saying there about playing that adapting game. And now, he wasn't originally in the top five of mine, but I've been told off by Ben by a couple of players.
Off air behind the other contributors back, I got in touch with James and went, those two players you've listed there, mate, they're not even fullbacks. Not having that.
That's just going back to me opening my mouth saying I'm getting a lot of centre backs are being put into them positions, and when I see him, they've been in that position anyway and they've played out of skin. So you thought, oh, hang on, what's he doing there?
I didn't realise there was external influences going on.
That's
here,
right, yeah.
Outrageous.
Pulling the strings behind the scenes. I'll be doing a press conference in my garden later. Right, anyway, let's talk about.
Just make sure you don't apologise.
Let's move from Radcliffe just over the way to Atherton Coles. I've picked up Gaz Pete, who's been at Atherton Coles he's part of the furniture, isn't he? He loves the club and that kind of thing. Moving on to Buxton, Alex Brown. Now, Simo, you've mentioned Alex Brown.
Yeah.
He's obviously left the club now. I think he's gone to Kings Lynn, hasn't he? So
he might be playing in a promotion playoff shortly, which would be quite an interesting way to end this season. You know, he's been a regular at fullback for Buxton for a while now. Got quite deservedly got a move up the pyramid. Maybe overdue. I don't know. I think he was enjoying himself at Buxton, to be fair. But possibly we'll be playing, if things go well for Kings Lynn, possibly we'll be playing in the National League next season. And I think part of the reason he's on my list of top five is he's good enough to do that, even though he's still very, very young. It's a bit of a cheat choice, maybe, because he was in my team of the year last year, but I just think he has kicked on a little bit more this time. He's, you know, it's very rare for players at this level to be selected for the England C-side. We don't see a lot of Northern Premier League guys selected for that. That's not a criticism of the league, by the way, because I do know the scouts watch a lot of games at this level, but they obviously see what a lot of people see in Brown, which is he's got a little bit of everything. And I'm sure there was a queue of clubs who wanted to bring him in. It's a bit of a coup for Kings Lynn, to be fair. Obviously, he's moving from one part of the country to another. I did wonder, you know, with Ian Culverhouse's brief spell in the Northern Premier League, whether that's what brought Brown onto his radar. I don't know. I'd have to look at what he said about it. But yeah, it's certainly a player, even though he's left the league now, to keep an eye on to see where his career goes from here. Because I think he's a really exciting prospect. And yes, I might have put him in the team of the year last year, but I think he absolutely probably is still the best left back in the division.
I mean, he has dipped his toe in step two before, hasn't he? And he's had quite a few clubs, step two and three. So it'd be interesting, like you say, to see how he gets on at Kings Lynn. Just to move along to Ashton United, and a player who I wanted to mention through watching him against FC was John Lafudo, who was strong, pacey, athletic, superb going forward, and wouldn't let FC United go. Anyone went near him, he was on them straight away. And especially on that pitch, that was quite an achievement.
It's a good little story about that, isn't it? In that he was absolutely immense for Taddy in a, I think it was either an FA Cup or an FA Trophy. I think it was an FA Cup tie against Ashton. And Jody Bannum responded immediately after that, was like, we need to get this guy in and move very quickly to sign Lufuadu for Ashton. And you can, like you just described, you can see why. But it made me smile, that story at the time, that he'd like, oh, well, we need to get him in. He's been so good against us. Let's bring him down to Ashton. And obviously carried on playing for them under Cleggie, and expecting him to feature heavily next season.
Another player who's really rated by his manager is Ben Turner at Michelover Sports. I think John McGrath said he's not just the best fullback in this league, but across step three, according to John McGrath. So, and another one of those fullbacks who likes to go marauding forward. Let's go to Witten Albion's, one of Witten Albion's fullback now. I'll come to you, Matt, because he's in your list. Isaac Baldwin at Witten Albion.
Why? Yeah, someone, I know this pleased Simo that he was involved in this, but yeah, someone who didn't quite happen for him higher up the leagues when he went to Spennymoor, and I think possibly didn't really get a chance. I know he was part of their promotion winning side in the latter end of the season, and it just hasn't happened. But when I can't profess to have seen him loads this season, but when I did, he was very impressive. Legs getting forward, gives a bit of balance, great attitude. I know Simo will attest to him being a decent lad, and if Simo says so, I'll believe him. I think I'm right in saying he's just signed permanently this week, or recently.
Yeah, that's spot on. It's been one they've been very, very keen to get done. He had a successful, in the end, I think it was a 3-month loan spell from Fardley Celtic, and he was obviously part of a very much a regular in their team that they won promotion under Adam Lakeland, and very much established a reputation for, again, the theme we've visited of being a goal-scoring fullback. One thing that Carl McCauley loves about Baldwin is he can play on both sides of the field, so he's played left-back and right-back for Witten, quite unusual. Again, very unusual to see a player that's so comfortable on both feet, which we don't really see at this level. And it's been a bit of a gift from heaven for Witten, because they've really struggled to replace Anthony Gardner, who's the former club captain, who'd been played 300-plus games for them at right-back, been there a long, long, long time. And they've been through three or four different alternatives before finally being able to land on Baldwin. And I know it was one they wanted to get done very, very quickly. Testament to how much he's enjoyed his football again, that he's still based in Yorkshire and coming over to Cheshire to play for them. So they're absolutely made up that he's staying.
He seems like a bit of a manager's dream in terms of, you know, the attitude and everything. Play both sides. Bit of a Dennis Irwin style figure in that sense, I guess.
Yeah.
Just a mention for James Short as well.
James Short, again, a kind of similar trajectory in that Witten lost Matty Devine, who's a name we'll come back to later. He went to sign for Nantwich Town along with Greg Hall last summer. And Shorty, very, very different style of player to Devine. In fact, he is a little bit more of a throwback. So we're talking about style of fullbacks, you know, solid defender, not necessarily someone that bombs on like a lot of the guys that we're going to talk about today. So very much a different style, but is a good crosser of the ball when he gets forward, and has had a very, you know, a very respectable first season at Wincham Park, and I fully expect him to be back next season. So yeah, certainly an honourable mention for him.
Now, James, I'll come to you next. Going up to Stalybridge and Declan Walker. I know he was Simo's choice as well as yours. Came in from, check this out, everyone, for research, Aberystwyth Town. He was the captain the season before last. How good's he been at Stalybridge this year?
He's been, again, a little bit more of a threatening defender, if that makes sense. Defenders who can get forward as well as do a job. His first goal, his first game of the season, is worth watching on its own just for his merits. But he can dictate the game a little bit as well. He knows how to influence his back four a little bit, which is normally a job for your centre-back, really, in my mind. I think he's only 24, 25 as well, so he's got a little bit more time to develop himself. He's brought a lot of life into that Stalybridge team. We remember the start of the last season, we're struggling a little bit, just avoid relegation.
Walker's one that I didn't know hardly anything about him before he played against Witten this season. He's occasionally you go to a game and you kind of scribble down a name because someone has impressed you so much, just to kind of keep an eye on them if you get to see them again or what happens to them next. And he was one of the players that did that for me this season. And the main reason being his delivery from set pieces is among the best I've seen in the league. From corners, free kicks, repeatedly that afternoon caused absolute chaos for Witten's defence with the high quality of his delivery. And so, when I was doing my research for today, according to the records collated by Stalybridge, he had 8 assists this season, which made him their joint top assist provider along with Scott Bakker, who obviously is an attacking player, which is extraordinary in itself from fullback. And also, it's always an interesting indication of what people think of him. I think he was second in their players' player of the year vote that they did recently. And I think it's always quite telling the guys that get picked by their peers that are in the kind of top couple of, and he was very highly, if he was not runner-up, he was certainly in the top three in there. And I thought that was interesting as well. He's obviously kind of made that impact on the guys around him in the dressing room. Definitely a name to keep an eye on next season or in the next couple of years.
And I know, I'll come back to you, James, because they had Callum Mantak there for a while, didn't they? Who's, you know, he's a phenomenal player in his own right. But Scott Metcalf came in February. So I suppose he's had Radcliffe, he's had Stalybridge. He's a good fullback as well, to be fair, Scott Metcalf, doesn't he? His reputation goes before him.
Now, not to say he's not a fantastic player, don't get me wrong, but when I saw him at Stalybridge against Gamecroft, obviously worked with Walker a little bit because they both looked on par, even when he switched sides during the game as well, threw Games of Trinity off a little bit. But Walker's the more overall package, I think. Mm.
Let's speaking of Gainsborough, we should mention Jamie Green as well, who joined in the summer, who's been there throughout for a transitional year, let's call it. Not said transitional year for a while, actually. It feels very good to say that out loud. One player, though, who's three of you, including Swampy, have mentioned the next player, and it's no surprise, really, Kyle Brownhill. Kind of like what we said last week about Grant Chenton. If you were to do a list of the best fullbacks at step three, Kyle Brownhill would be in the list, wouldn't he? And funnily enough, he is. Mark, why?
Yeah, well, he's on my list. He brings, obviously, he's only 25, is he? 25, 26, but brings great experience with him. And I think that shows in his style of play. He's a good communicator. Again, we talk about energy and attitude and all these things, and he kind of ticks every box. I think, like you say, across the league, if you are going to pick a top five, I just think he has to be in there for what he brings to the club, what he brings to a defence. I was going to say back four, back three, back five, back whatever. You know, he would be an essential pick in this. You can't look far beyond him as one of the best in the league.
And related to Liam Brownhill, of course, who was a good fullback in his own right. So
very, very good fullback.
So he's in your list. He's in Simo's list. He's in Swampy's list.
He probably would have been in Berkey's list if he made one.
I think so. Yeah, I think so.
I mean, another player that ranked really highly in the Players' Player of the Year at Hyde. Another player who's. His contribution is recognised by the guys that played him every week. What I'm surprised he's as young as that. It feels like he's been around forever. Yeah, just so consistent whenever you see him.
He's at an age now, though, where you wonder what the next step is. Could he go higher and test himself higher? And he's probably looking at a big couple of seasons ahead to see what happens.
I think sometimes working the right manager and the right attitude can help you a little bit. And that's especially what's up. With Kyle this year, especially transition between two managers, he's managed to burn that well and just settle down into that place.
Kyle Brownhill with three votes, also with three votes, and this takes us up to the North East. For the first time, Mark, Morpeth's Steve Forster, three votes from everyone. He's an ex-winger, isn't he? So he's one of these.
He is.
Yeah.
But I think what he's done well is his defensive, the defensive side of his play has come on leaps and bounds. He's a player, I think what I like most about Stephen Foster is the fact that he did his time in the Northern League, at step six, and he's just progressed through the league so well. He's taken every step in his stride. He was outstanding last year when they won the, the East Division title, as it was then. But he just never lets them down. He's again, I spoke earlier on about Isaac Baldwin being the sort of player manager loves. I know for a fact Nicky Gray and the management team at Morpeth love Fozzy. He's someone, again, who I think will just go on to be a big part of what they're doing. He's kind of bought into the club. He's closing in on about 300 appearances for them now, which is a remarkable statistic given what the turnaround of players has been at Morpeth over the last few years. So, yeah, Fozzy for me is... He's in my five, and I would say that with an North East bias, but he's someone who I think has gained respect throughout the league, and I think that's shown in the fact that he has been selected by a few people in this.
I was going to say, Mark, I mean, how important, because Chris Reid's on the other flank, and
yes,
the pair of them have been there quite a while, haven't they? So, I mean...
Yeah, I mean, there's an argument to say that with Chris that he is capable of playing centre-back as well, so if Morpeth ever wanted to go to a three, they could probably do it quite easily. But I think it shows the level of trust. I've got no doubt that Guy Gray could have gone out and got another left back and another right back if he wanted to. But he trusts them, and that's a big thing with Nicky. He's someone who needs to trust his players, and there's been players that haven't quite done it at Morpeth, and he's been quick to get rid because he feels he can't trust them. That's why they've had such a good sort of five years now since they won the FA4s, and every year they've just got better and better, and despite that, Fozzie's still stuck there, and I think that shows everything that that he's about.
Right, let's go to Nantwich Town then, and I'll come to you, Simo, because you and Swampy agree on this. Matthew Devine, one of Dave Cook's first signings of the summer. Good signing.
Yeah, obviously, Matty's a player that I know really well. Pretty much watched him every week for the last 4 or 5 years since he came to Witten from Marine. So there's an element of bias there. He's just from someone who I've been able to watch over a long period of time. He's set apart a little bit with some of the other guys that we've put in our list today, because I genuinely think one-on-one he is the best defender, the best of the fullbacks that we talk about today. Partly because of his speed to rescue situations, but just his ability to read what's going to happen, unparalleled amongst the guys that we're going to talk about today. Where he obviously doesn't score as highly against them as he perhaps doesn't offer as much in the attacking third. He has adapted quite nicely to. I've seen Nantwich play five at the back a number of times this season, and he's been able to kind of get forward with that speed that he's got. But he's not someone who's going to offer goals, not someone who's going to offer bucketfuls of assists. But I just think that consistency over a long period of time makes him an easy pick for any top five that I draw up. And like I say, just sets apart that, he will score very highly on those defensive elements where some of the other guys won't. So I'll always kind of champion Matty. Someone again, approaching mid-20s now, I'd be really interested to see what his trajectory is going to be. He may well stay with Dabbers for another tilt at promotion next season. That wouldn't shock me. But another guy, add to that kind of little list that we're building now, who is capable of playing at least the next level up.
Let's talk about Lancaster City, because Simo, you mentioned something interesting last week about their... How many clean sheets they were keeping up? Was it before Christmas? I think it was.
No, they ended when the season finished on whatever it was, mid March. Lancaster had kept more clean sheets than anybody else. They kept 12 clean sheets. I did it on Premier Division fixtures. So they were top of that table, which is always an interesting stat. Which is part of the reason why I picked Sam Ashton in my top three for goalkeepers. But I think it's fair to say that and they're one of the teams as well. I saw them a few times this season. They played that three centre halves or five at the back, however you want to describe it. And I think very much their success was built on solidity, very kind of aggressive but solid physical side. But they do, and we'll talk about this in other weeks, but still with a couple of jewels in the final third that have enabled them to kind of sustain the season that they've had. So they had a little bit of a rotating cast though, because they were changing the wing backs.
Yeah, I mean, I've got written down Jack Armour and Lewis Benson, both with Preston, heavy Preston North End connections. I think Jack was actually at home for Preston, wasn't it? So you know that they're part of that surprise package this year, and it'll be interesting to see if it continues for next season. But like we say, we'll focus on Lancaster City in other weeks as well. Shall we mention Baseford too? I've got Ryan Wilson written down at left back, but I'd just like to mention really Liam Bateman, who when I saw him was phenomenal. Really interesting to see what happens, because Baseford, obviously, are we safe to say they're going to be in transition? It's going to be a slightly different team to next year, Simo, or is it going to be
Baseford?
Yeah,
there's going to be some changes. I mean, they're one of the teams that's been pretty active at the moment, so they're quite quick to name who they were staying and kind of who'd extended or who they've taken the option out on to stay. And then there's been a little bit of transfer activity coming in. Marcus Marshall was a kind of high profile signing that they made very soon, actually, after the season was suspended and then cancelled. A little bit of turnover with guys going out, with Jamie Reid and Nat Watson, two very, very important players for them going forward in the past couple of seasons. So they're going to need to replace them, but I'm pretty sure they've got a plan. So there will be some changes, probably to make them even stronger, more ominously for everybody else. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see who replaces those high-profile players.
Just as well, as a quick mention, they've just won the 25 grand off Bill Bates as well, so we've got more flexibility there too. They've been probably one of the most active teams in the off-season so far, even with everything going on, all the uncertainty. they're making them push forward, potentially for a shout of the National League North in the next couple of seasons.
Well, we'll wait and see. But that's Basford. Warrington, I was going to rely heavily on James Gordon for this, but I've written down Thomas Warren and Mitch Duggan. It's been a bit of a weird season, hasn't it, at Warrington? But this is the weird thing about Warrington, all those draws and stuff like that. But they were there, weren't they? So they've clearly had a good year.
But they're a victim of their own success, though, aren't they? Because we set such a high bar now. You know, Paul Carden's established a reputation as an outstanding, and don't use that word lightly, an outstanding manager at this level, and delivered consistently for what, in relative terms, compared to some of the other clubs in the division, he's still a relatively small club. But I think that's why sometimes when we've had the monthly show this season, we've kind of had a couple of times kind of what's going on at Warrington discussions. I mean, they did pick up just before the season came to a premature end, so they were actually one of the teams that were on a bit of a roll and looking set to very much cement their place in the playoffs. But again, something we touched on both last week and previously is that it was built on such a very, very solid foundation last season. They topped that clean sheet table along with Witten. It was a remarkable number. I think it was like 17, 18 clean sheets in the end, which is ridiculous. That's not been the case this season. I don't think that's necessarily any individual's fault. They've just not quite been as watertight. They have actually rotated in those positions because Sean Bealey's played it right back quite a bit. So that might be why we've not necessarily got Warrington guys on our radar for this particular debate. But I think you make a fair point. Maybe sometimes we're a bit harsh on them.
Looking at the number of players that have scored from the season, yeah, I think we've had more players on the team sheet than any other club has this year.
Well, they've had to share the goals around, haven't they?
It's been a really interesting year for Warrington, given the hangover from last year, obviously, the playoff final defeat against Kings Lynn. I mean, I can't pretend to know a lot about Kings Lynn last season, but I expected Warrington, after seeing them beat South Shields in the in our playoff final, that they would go and win that one. So to see them getting beat was a real shock. And I do wonder if some of the self-belief went out to some of the players and the club as a whole after that. It's just taken them time to get that back this season, which is why they kind of hit a patch of form just before the season was brought to an end, just to get that out of the system, sort of thing.
Now, I've got 5% battery, so I'm going to tee up this next question and then run downstairs and get the charger, all right? So don't think I'm ignoring you. There's one player who's united all of us. This player's in everyone's list. FC United's left-back, Adam Dodd. 41 appearances in all competitions, 6 goals from left back. I think he scored most of them in a string of matches, actually, midway through the season. I'll come to you, Mark, for Adam Dodd.
Yeah.
Neil Reynolds says, one of the key signings in the summer from that post-relegation vibe at FC United to let's all have a good time. And Adam Dodd's played a key part in that, Mark.
Yeah, I think when you get relegated, you know, it was the first kind of bump in the road for FC United. So getting the right characters in to kind of brush that aside was essential. And I think Adam Dodd was one of those players, was very good at Bamber Bridge, looked very strong there. And he's just carried that on at FC United. Great going forward. We keep saying this, and it pains to keep saying this, but I think we'll probably say it about another 10 times before we finish. But defensively, really disciplined. I think he's only been booked 3 times this season, which shows a level of maturity and a level of discipline in terms of making challenges or getting involved in the more physical side of the game or over physical side of the game. I think Ryan saying he scored twice against Witten as well, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. One of them was an absolute rip snorter right at the end, which they thought had won them. He was brilliant that day. Absolutely brilliant.
I just think, yeah, the fact that everyone has chosen him shows that when we come to decide who is the best in the league, I think he's not going to be far away, is he? Let's be honest. If people from different, you know, aspects of the media are putting him in, then he has to be in there. And just a great signing, and credit to the manager for bringing him in. And I think you can see his influence throughout the dressing room, in that FC United dressing room. And someone, again, I think, you know, if the club is going to be, if they are going to challenge again next season, he will be absolutely instrumental in that.
Well, I have to ask Ben, because I was going to ask Swampy this today when we moved on to talking about Adam Dodd. He kind of, FC United have got this quite rich tradition of having brilliant attacking fullbacks, haven't they? And he very much kind of is extending that legacy. I mean, we've mentioned one name today about Liam Brownhill, but obviously Jerome Wright was very famously converted into a brilliant attacking left back, perhaps prolonged his career by making that move. And there's probably other names that Ben or Swampy would have been able to, you know, to put. It's very much an FC United thing to have these guys on both sides getting involved in how they go forward, how they attack.
And I don't know why that's the case. Honestly, don't
be. No, it's
right.
Weird, isn't
yeah,
it?
It's very weird.
I think the biggest compliment I could pay Dodd is when I saw him play, he reminded me of Brownhill a bit.
Yeah.
In that style. Yeah. So that's probably, for me, the biggest compliment you could pay a fullback at this level, because, you know, Brownhill was just outstanding.
Swampy also mentions Aaron Morris on the other flank. Aaron Morris has been really, really impressive this year, mainly because he's one of those converted centre-backs that we spoke about earlier. He came from Runcorn Linnets as well to play out of position. And now he loves playing right back.
I was going to say, what does he think about it? Because Morris is a really interesting one. He's a guy who I've watched for a long time playing centre half at Runcorn, and it's, you know, easily one of the best centre halves at Step 5 for a long, long, long time. And when FC United announced that they'd signed him, he thought, yeah, brilliant. He can make the step up. He's ready. Obviously, the way in which it's worked out with him making that move to fullback, I've wondered how he felt about that, because he had such an established reputation as a centre half.
As the season's progressed, as I understand it, he's basically said, "I want to play here now." So all the coaching,
fair enough.
It's like the old Championship manager where you wanted to you converted someone and then you trained them to be right back or wherever, and that's pretty much what's been going on apparently. So 38 appearances for Aaron this season with 3 goals from right back. So, you know, that's not bad. Mark, I'll come to you for the final two fullbacks we need to talk about. Firstly, Blair Adams, loads of experience. I think it's safe to say that, and that goes to show you what South Shields are all about, that you can have a player with that level of experience playing for you at this level.
Yeah, I think Blair, you know, going forward is just absolutely outstanding. He's obviously he's come from a higher level. I think he came through at Sunderland as a kid, but the one thing I'd say about Blair, and the reason I haven't got him in my top five, is that he's had a few injuries this year. So I think his influence on that South Shields side has been maybe not what it could have been. That gives a lovely balance, links up play really well, good communicator. I know when you go there, you are quite close to the pitch in the media area, we'll call it. If you can get in there.
Yeah, if you could get in there, Mark, of course. Yeah, absolutely.
But I know you can hear them constantly throughout the game, and obviously when they've got people like John Shaw at centre back, the two of them just lead that back four brilliantly. So yeah, Blair's probably unfortunate not to get in.
But you did put Jordan Hunter in.
Yeah,
Swampy also put Jordan Hunter in. He's on loan from Sunderland, wasn't he? So I mean,
he is. For me, I did a piece. I was asked by one of the local papers, one of the local Sunday papers up here, to do a list of 5 non-league players in the region that could go higher. I kind of cheated a little bit by putting Jordan in, given that he's already higher, but he is someone who I think will have a Football League career. Absolutely. We've spoken a lot about going forward. He does that part of the game really well. Mentioned at the very start that South Shields play this diamond in midfield, so they rely on the fullbacks to provide width, and he does that so effectively. But defensively, one-on-one, he is as good as anything around. What I would say about Jordan, obviously coming from Sunderland, and we mentioned this last week with goalkeepers, coming from a Football League club or a Premier League club, there is an expectation when you go to a non-league club to be, you know, the attitude, the technique, everything's got to be perfect. When you add in the expectations that are at South Shields and the you know, everyone knows what they're trying to do there, the kind of expectations, the ambitions. He's bought into that, and he's dealt with it so well. When you talk to him, he's just such a level-headed kid. You can see that his upbringing, he came through the academy at Liverpool, then signed for Sunderland 2 years ago. He is in awaiting news on what's happening with him at Sunderland, so he may well be back at South Shields next season on a permanent if Sunderland don't extend his contract. But for me, I think he's just got a little bit of everything. He's strong. He's great on the ball. He's solid defensively, good going forward. And I think he's just one of the best in the league, if not the best for me.
Well, on that note, we need to drill down now, you three, and we need to nail this. I think, based on the list we've compiled here, I think we can get a player who's left back playing left back and a player who's right back playing right back. I think we could do that. Left back is, everyone's voted for Adam Dodd, so
yeah. unquestionably.
So Adam Dodd, according to our deliberations here, which just to remind everyone, means absolutely nothing, and it's very trivial, Adam Dodd goes in at left back. Right back, according to my list anyway, Steve Forster has the most votes, with Jordan Hunter having two, Declan Walker having two, and Isaac Baldwin having two. But Swampy's not here, and he's that third vote. So what do we think for right back? Who wants to go first?
I think Mark's made a really good case for Hunter, and I did cheat by saying, can I have him as an honourable mention? So it's kind of half a vote from me for him, if that elevates him any further. I think it was also really well argued about slotting into the environment that he had to slot into. And also following in the footsteps. I mean, Baxter's played a bit further forward from this season, so he's been a very, not dislodged, that's not fair, but obviously, you know, someone who's played there before him, who's been a real rock, a real established figure at South Shields as well, so he's had big shoes to fill as well, hasn't he?
Can I just jump in here and say, please, please don't make me choose between South Shields and Morpeth, because that is not a good place to be. So, just you guys take the lead on this, because I'm not
getting it. Right, Walker, it is.
This does not end well. So, you guys take the lead on that. I'm going to sit out.
James, as you and Simo said, Declan Walker, I mean...
I'm not going to budge on that. Walker was in my... In fact, I think he was the first name I wrote down when we were talking about fullback, so I'm going to stay loyal to him. I think he's had a really good debut season at this level, and I'm excited to see what he does next. But it's like by a hair's width over Hunter, I think. It's very, very close. But I'll stick with the guy I went with originally, Declan Walker.
And I know, Simo, you were blown away by the love shown to Isaac Baldwin, weren't you?
I was touched. I was touched. And it shows that he's been recognised, and it shows what a good signing that they've made. So, yeah, absolutely no qualms if you wanted to go with him at all.
So are we basically saying it's up to me to decide who goes in between Forster and Hunter and Walker? Is that what we're saying here?
Do you want me to pitch in? I'll come off the fence if you want.
Suddenly, purely going on the stats, South Shields, 16 goals less. It's the only fair way to do it, really.
Matt?
I'm completely split, and I'm split with Baldwin as well, but yeah, Hunter.
I think given the fact that I paid off with the fact that I think he's the best in the league. I think that, you know, it'd be silly to make a comment like that and then for me not to say if they put him in. I think Jordan, I think he's got so much potential ahead of a football league career in front of him. So I think, and I'm very wary of the fact that I'm speaking to Nicky Gray in about half an hour. I think I'd probably just go for Jordan Hunter, but Stephen Forster, very unlucky not to get in.
Right. As well, yeah.
Okay, right. Well, that's our fullbacks then. Adam Dodd and Jordan Hunter joining Ollie Martin in our unofficial team of last season. Next week, join us again, but this time round we'll be discussing centre-backs and whether you like the Rio Ferdinand style or the Vidic style. And that kind of thing. So we'll be just.
I'm only you my list anyway.
Yeah. We're centre backs, aren't we? But James Hayes, a big thank you for joining us for this special show this week, talking about fullbacks. And you stay safe. Simo, big thank you for joining us, mate.
No problem.
And Matt Carruthers, always a pleasure. And have a lovely weekend. Stay safe, and we'll speak to you very soon. Bye bye.